Hey, it has been really a pleasure for me to be able to have these guys staying in our house. And I hope that maybe even though there's a bit of a chasm here from a stage to your seat, that you can see that there's something in their heart that's real. The real deal. I want to talk about the real deal tonight. We have been on a journey this entire semester about seeing what it looks like to be on the Lord's side. And we have talked about what we give, and we've talked about what we celebrate, and we talk about who we're with. And in this Who We're With series, we have been talking specifically about people that are helping us get to Jesus. Because way, way back in this book of Leviticus that we're in, we understand that there were priests. And priests made a way for people to get to God. They would sacrifice on their behalf. They would offer these sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. But they had to go through these cleansing processes themselves. And so these priests were really important. And then as we know, Jesus came and he became this new high priest. And that kind of made us, all of us, 1 Peter says that we are all priests, the priesthood of all believers, that we have a role to lead people to the big priest. And tonight, we're going to look within the book of Hebrews, where it talks about Jesus being that grand high priest. And we're going to talk specifically about who you're with. Are you with him? More specifically, is he living within you? In other words, do you have the real deal inside of you? This description of Jesus being the high priest is from Hebrews 7 through Hebrews 10. We're going to look at Hebrews 10. This is kind of the conclusion of the matter. It says this, it says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So back to the beginning, it says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities. The real deal is the real deal in you, or are we chasing shadows? You guys love the cat videos, don't you? Right? We just watch them. I don't know why, we just love the cat videos. They're just everywhere. We're just like watching the cats doing crazy stuff. You ever go to some friend's house and you got the cat in the living room? And you're by the window, and you just like happen to like move your hand like this, your finger like this, and the cat's like jumping on your shadow on the floor, and you're like, ooh, fun. You ever do that? And then you wiggle it a little bit, and it just like starts to crouch, and you're like, this stupid cat, you know? And it's crouching and crouching, and you wiggle it just a little bit more, pounces on there, and it's just like so empty, and you can just see the frustration in this cat. It's like there's nothing there. And then he does it again. You're like, stupid cat. And so you just, and every once in a while, all you got to do is tease him with a little bit of movement, and it thinks it's alive. It's a shadow. Do you have the real deal? Or are you chasing shadows? We have been in a series. A series that has pointed out numerous things that help us cross the line to let the Lord know that we are after him in a serious kind of way. But if you are only doing the things you're supposed to do to cross the line to be on the Lord's side, but you don't realize that there is a king in a chair, in a throne, then all you're doing is chasing shadows. We're going to pass an offering bucket here in just a second. And that really sums up part of what we had talked about at the very beginning of the semester. We talked about trying to create a new culture within our ministry, that we want to be people that give our first minutes to the Lord. We want to be people that give our first few dollars to the Lord. We have a thing on our website called First Five. It's a way for you to sign up electronically if you want to do that. It's there. And it has nothing to do with have to. It has everything to do with you get to. And this get-to thing, it really isn't about, hey, if I give a little bit of money, God's going to bless me. No, that's a shadow kind of a thing. But if we know that we're seeking the Lord who is real, it's like It's like you guys think about that Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful, right? You guys think about that. And there's this, I've got that in my own life. I got my wife who's everything to me. She's not the Lord, but she's a lot to me. And I can't imagine how unfulfilling it would be if all I ever knew was her shadow. There's something amazing about looking into her eyes and talking to her and having this deep conversation and our souls connect. And there's something amazing about that flesh and blood kind of relationship that's the real deal. And Jesus is that. He wants to be that same thing for you. And there's a lot of us, I think, that have fooled ourselves into thinking that things like an offering bucket are really a substitute for that. It's not the real deal. It's a shadow. We've talked a little bit too in this series about these ceremonies that we remember and that we celebrate. And we talk a little bit about communion, and we talk about baptism, and we talk about weddings, and we talk about these celebrations that remind us of a king and his throne, the high priest, the highest of all priests who's on this other side. And if you're not seeking him and you're just seeking the emblems or the baptism or the wedding ceremony, but you're forgetting that it's a reflection of this real deal, you're missing out. As I was flying back from Chile last week, it was so cool. I sat next to this college student. She was a med student. And she said, "I just had an incredible week." I said, "Tell me about it." She said, I helped 50 little kids with surgery on her cleft palate. And she said it was awesome. But she said, there's something more that I want. It was great, but I want something just a little bit more." Man, there are people that are doing some really amazing things in the name of service it looks really good. It looks really fulfilling. It looks like it's the real deal, but it's really, you pounce on it and you just have to do it again. And you pounce on it and you just have to keep. I know people that have spent their whole life trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and doing a good thing and this trying this new thing, and it's a shadow. It's chasing shadows. And it really was in this context in Hebrews where he's saying the priests, the old priests, all they can do, the best they can do is shadow work. And all they can do is say, "Hey, come to the temple, and I'll offer a sacrifice for you, but it won't last. You'll have to come back and have to do it again, and we'll have to do it again, and we'll have to do it again." It's like chasing shadows. The second part, a little bit further down in Hebrews chapter 10, says this: "But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." Done. Jesus is sitting down at the right hand of God, and he's just waiting. He's waiting for you. He wants to fill you up with everything that is satisfying. He's the real deal. And if you are not a churchgoer, and this might be your first time here, we're so glad that you're here. And you might be one of those people that have a unique perspective where you're from the outside, and you're like, "It seems to me like these church people do a lot of shadow chasing," and I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to have to agree with you, because a lot of shadow chasing happens a lot of times in churches. It can happen out of church too. It can happen in just acts of service and things of that nature. But within the church, I think sometimes we think that it's going to, my small group, that's going to fill me up. Hey, it's an incredible, incredible tool to bring you to the high priest. But if that is your end goal, it is just a shadow. Same thing can be said for worship services or just going to church. And how often I've got so many friends who are like, "Yeah, I'm going to church now. Yeah, I go to church." As if that really is the, I don't really care as much about where you go. It's who's in you, right? It's who is in you. Do you have the real deal? I'm going to I'm going to go short tonight. I've got one last little example for us. And I got to tell you, Easter season, it just gets to my soul, knowing what Jesus went through, knowing that this was the week that he was preparing himself to be an offering for you and I, that one sacrifice for us. This is that week that we celebrate that. And it's well documented that it was Thursday night that he had the Last Supper and that he was betrayed, and then the next day was Friday and he died on a cross, and then he was buried on Saturday, and the next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And let's call it Resurrection Sunday, even if you're just like within earshot of me. It sounds better than Easter, okay? Resurrection Sunday is really such a great name. And that's what we celebrate at the end of this week. But you guys know what we celebrated yesterday? It's something that's not quite as celebrated often, but we call it Palm Sunday. And it is perhaps one of the most emotional and meaningful and deeply meaningful stories to me personally. I had an opportunity to go to Israel years ago, and I got to stand on the Mount of Olives. And I want you to stand with me, okay? If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. But you're on the Mount of Olives, and it just looks like it's about 300 yards away is Jerusalem. There's this valley in between. And if you were in Jesus' time, you'd see this city on a hill. You'd see Jerusalem just right there with a big fence all the way around it, a big gate, a big, what do you call it, wall. Thank you. Those big words are getting hard to me. A big wall. All the way around it. And right in the center, you've got the temple. And it's big, and it's beautiful, and it's awesome. And there's this gate that goes right across from where you're standing. And you walk right across into the gate, beautiful. And it opens up into this temple where there is going to be sacrifices later that week. But Jesus knows, I'm going in there because the end of this week, I'm going to die for all these people. I'm going to be the sacrifice once for all, and then I'm going to sit down. And I'm the real deal. And people won't have to keep coming every couple weeks, every month, every year. They won't have to keep doing it over and over again. I'm the real deal. It's such a big moment that God has all kinds of prophecy throughout the Word to prepare people and to let people know this is the day that my son is going to be celebrated. It's going to be a triumphal entry. You've heard that before. His triumphal entry is there, and God sets it all up, and he even puts it within the people to come out and to put down these palm branches, and they say the right words. They say Hosanna, which means save us. And Jesus is about to go down through, but as we all know, these people had a different king in their mind. They had a political leader in mind. They thought this was a Bernie, a Donald, a something. And Jesus is like, let me cry right now. These people were chasing shadows. They had the right heart, they had the right passion, they had the right desire, they had the right yearning, they had the wrong idea. Man, you might be a believer, you might be somebody that knows Jesus, you might be somebody outside of Jesus. I'm talking to all of you right now, whoever you are. You could be as far from the Lord or as apparently close to the Lord as you think you might be tonight. You can easily be fooled into following fool's gold, to be chasing shadows of what God really is. He says, I want you to accept me for who I am. I'm your sacrifice. I'm your everything. I am the real deal. That's going to fill you up in a way that nothing else can. That's going to satisfy you to your core so that as you go on a mission trip to do cleft palate replacement or surgery, it's going to be a fulfilling trip because there's something more to it than just the surgery. There's more to it than just visiting Mexico. There's more to it. There's this the real deal within you. And so I'm going to end with this text from Luke. Jesus is standing up this mountain, and he says, as he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Like, he's crying out to these people, if you knew. I think he's telling that to you tonight, wherever you're at, whatever shadow you've been chasing, whatever thing that's been close but not quite, whatever looks a lot like God but isn't quite Jesus, whatever Bible study you think has been the replacement of him, whatever scenario you've put yourself in, whatever thing that you may have convinced yourself of that is God but is really close and looks a lot like him, he's weeping over that with you, and he's saying, if you just knew what would have brought you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. Let me tell you the three things that stand out to you when you are in Jerusalem. The first is this, that they have enemies on every side. It's this clear. That's still true today. If you went into Jerusalem, you would say, yeah, they have a big army here and they need it because there's all of these threats from all around. The next, they will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another. The biggest thing that people talk about in Jerusalem is something that's not even there. It's the temple. It's gone now. It's been destroyed. Something no one ever thought would ever happen. Jesus predicts it right here. And he says this, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You didn't recognize the real deal when it was here. Yes, you put the palm branches down. Yes, you said Hosanna, but you were seeking something different than what I really was. It was close, but no cigar. Close, but not quite. They were seeking shadows. The first thing that was listed on that list, and this, he says, now it's hidden from your eyes. That is a prophecy that is so true. If you go to Jerusalem, you'd think, hey, this is Jesus' stomping grounds. These people know all about Jesus, and this woman who was our guide, she showed us everywhere around, and she knew more scripture than I did. She knew more historical background than I did. She really understood so many things. She had so many answers for me that week. And that week, I remember sitting with her out on the Sea of Galilee as we're overlooking where Jesus preached to 5,000 and where the pigs went off the edge and where Jesus walked on water. And I'm on this lake, and all of these guys I'm with were just like these grown men crying. But not this woman. Not this Jewish woman. And I went up to her and I said, why? Why don't the Jews believe? You can tell me. It's okay. I'm sure you've got some inside information. You're very smart. Tell me why. And I will never forget. It was a haunting answer she gave me. She looked me in the eyes and she said, we just don't. I'm telling you tonight, as a friend, no matter who you are or where you've been or how far you are from the Lord, I'm telling you as a friend, there's a window to recognize the coming of the Lord, the real deal. He wants to make himself real to you tonight. There is a window. And when you miss that window, Jesus weeps. Jesus is not waiting to punish you. Jesus is not waiting to close that door and say, oh, you had your chance. When that window is closed, Jesus weeps because he wants you more than anything to know the real deal. He wants you to have peace in your heart. He wants you to live in a way that looks a lot like Rebecca, that's just something that comes out of you. He wants that for you so bad. But there is a window, and it will close. And when it closes, there are consequences. And tonight might be your window. Opportunities like this in Capon Auditorium at ISU don't come every day. This might be your chance. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing now. We're going to stand. We're just going to worship the Lord. And as we do that, we're going to pass these buckets around. If you feel like giving to the Lord, you can. If you don't feel like it, that's okay. But we're going to worship. And we're just going to ask you to let Jesus, the real deal, enter into you tonight at this time. Let's stand. Father God, mission trips are awesome, but without you, they're shadows. Father God, small groups are amazing and life-changing, but without you at the center, they're shadows. Large gatherings like this, where we all come together and we have a lot of energy in the room, it fills us up with something, and it's great and it's exciting, but without you, it's just a big blob of a shadow. Father, we do not want to seek shadows tonight. We want to seek you. We ask for the real deal tonight. We invite the real deal. Come as you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.